We had one lesson on denominationalism from a sociological perspective. And then this lesson is denominationalism from an organizational perspective. It's important we understand the terms we're using. The word church is a very common term, obviously. It occurs over 100 times in the New Testament. Just like we need to understand nouns and verbs and pronouns and adverbs when we look at the English language, it's helpful to understand the nature of different kinds of nouns. And this is what's called a collective noun, and we talked about that in our last class. We may not use that term, but we're very familiar with collective nouns. If we want to group or collect mother, father, son, daughter into one unit, we use the word family. If we want to collect students and view them as one, we use the word class. And so it is if you want to group Christians and view them as a unit, the New Testament uses the word church. Depending on what basis that you're grouping them on, identifies the various usages of the word church in the New Testament. We looked at the two basic uses in our lesson. What we call the church in the universal sense, where the one thing that we're looking at is that they're saved in Christ. And that collects all Christians anywhere. Thus we say the church universal. There's only one church in that sense. But then if we want to group or collect Christians on the basis of they work and worship together in a community or a locality, we call that the local church. And thus you have the church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus, the church at Jerusalem, etc., or churches of Christ, Romans 16:16. And so that same word, still a collective noun, it just the connection is different in the two usages of the word. We demonstrated how, with some common words that we use, link, links, and chain, you can have a barrel full of links, a plurality of links, and not have a chain. For it to be a chain, you connect the links with a physical connection. That's what the word chain, a collective noun, looks at. So you got Christians, plural, and then collect them, church, and then you want to collect churches and view them as one. There is no New Testament word. We have a word in our language, denomination. That's what a denomination is. It collects churches. Once again, as with other collective nouns, it depends on the connection you're looking at as to what's included, which churches are included. If you're looking at theology, it may be one group. If you're looking at denomination from an organizational perspective, that is, working under a centralized government or oversight or administration, the word denomination will collect different churches. And so that's simply the nature of our language. This is nothing in some kind of Church of Christ manual or something a bunch of preachers and elders got together and wrote up, but it's just common to our language. So we have an example of church used of a local church in 1 Corinthians 1:2. We have an example of local churches, plural, in Romans 16:16. The churches of Christ salute you. But that verse, nor any other in the New Testament, collects those churches into one. There's just no term in the New Testament. There's no place that it's done. And so we're looking now at number two in our lesson is where we got down to. The way that church is used today in our society. We've been talking about how church is used in the New Testament. Let's bring out our bus. we talk about so much. Words are vehicles upon which thoughts travel. And so here's our bus, our vehicle, the word church. We can look at the passengers put on the bus in the first century, which is what we've been doing. But there are some other passengers on the bus that have gotten on the bus since then. That is, it's the way the word church is used in our society. So we looked at, number one, church, a specific denomination, the Methodist Church. That is, a collective of Methodist churches. And then that's where we ended our class, so we're on B. The word church is also used of all denominations in our society. Not to say that's the way it's used in the New Testament now. That's a usage we have given the word. Here's an example. The church. I've got on here Christmas. What could we use instead of Christmas today? Easter. The church will celebrate Easter. That is to say, all denominations celebrate Easter today. Then another usage we have is the word church as an administrative body of a denomination. I gave you an example on the lesson. The church ruled to ordain homosexual priests. That is, the ruling body of that particular denomination ruled to ordain such men as priests. And so the church rule, that could refer to the Pope, a synod, a convention, a board, whatever. Where is it used that way in the New Testament? Never. That's a passenger that's gotten on the bus since the first century. And then church, all churches of Christ. This one you'll hear maybe very commonly. You may hear a man in a pulpit using this. You may see an article by a brother talking this way, but it's foreign to the New Testament. There's no such thing in the New Testament as congregations of the Church of Christ. That way the word church is collecting congregations or churches into one. It's just not used that way in the New Testament. So, let's look at our questions. We gave you questions on the back of this. We gave you four sets of verses. And what these scriptures are designed to show is that in the New Testament, when you talk about the church, or when the New Testament talks about the church, it's a collective of people, never a collective of churches, a collective of people. So to test that, we've got some parallel verses, 1 Corinthians 6 and 11 and Ephesians 5:26. Now, 1 Corinthians 6 and 11 talks about individuals. And Ephesians 5:26 talks about the church under the figure of a bride. And Ephesians 5:26 and 1 Corinthians 6, the same terminology is used, both of the individual and of the church. What is it?
Sanctified.
That's right. You are washed, sanctified, and justified, 1 Corinthians 6. We know that that's the individual saints in the church at Corinth. And here we have in Ephesians 5:26, he sanctified her, his bride. That is, the individual members in the church at Ephesus, but here they're viewed collectively as a group, his bride. But it's still people. We preachers sometimes are trying to illustrate, sometimes maybe use illustrations that are misleading. We go to the blackboard, for example, used to when blackboards were used. I know young people probably don't remember that, but anyway, they used to use blackboards. And so we want to illustrate the church. And so we draw a circle on the board. We say, here's a person. Now he's outside the circle, but he's baptized. And now we move him over into the circle. He's in the church. But what's the circle? Well, that's the church. Well, what? I thought he was part of the church. That illustration is misleading. The church is not the circle, something separate and apart from the people. The church is the people. Or you can say the church are. You can use a singular or plural verb depending on whether you're looking at the collective, collectively or distributively. We illustrated this in our last class for the benefit of those who may not have been here. If I say, here's two sentences. My family is large. My family are large. First of all, are both of them correct grammar? Yes, they are. Singular verb, plural verb. What's the meaning of the first phrase, my family is large? A lot of people in your family. You're viewing them as a group. My family are large. They're tall. They're taller, heavier, whatever it may be, big boned or something. But individuals. And so that's the idea. So, and we're going to, and the more you study in the New Testament and see these kind of things, the New Testament uses these plural and singular verbs with collective nouns. All right, now these next two verses, we are very, very familiar with Acts 22:16. Who was told to do what?
Paul was told to arise and be baptized and wash
away your sins. That's right. Paul, before he was known as Paul, he was still Saul. He wasn't a Christian. And he had seen the Lord on the road to Damascus and told to go there and he'd be told what he must do. Ananias came, told him to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. So I have that under the column of the individual. But again, back in Ephesians 5:26, what does it say about the church that parallels that?
By the washing of water with the word.
That's right. Cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. But it's not as if everybody jumped in one big bucket and then all of a sudden God had a big shower come up on, filled the bucket up, and everybody's washed. It's not that kind of thing. He's looking at the individuals in that collective having been washed. Still people. In other words, not churches. People. Having washed, cleansed her with the washing of water by the word. All right. Acts 2:47. What is said there to be done with the individual when they obeyed the gospel? They were added to the number, or depending on what version, or King James, New King James, added to the church. New American Standard Version says added to their number. Some birds may say added together. But they were added when they were being saved. The Lord was adding the saved to their number. Now, in Ephesians 5:23, we've been looking at Ephesians, but we were looking at 26. What's said about the church in Ephesians 5:23? Christ is the Savior of the body. The body. Body is a word that collects members. Who are the members?
Those being saved.
The individual Christians. See? So once again we see the word church is a collective of people. Why are we emphasizing this? Simply to show. And you could go, I tell you what, you want to have a class, go through the 100-something times the word church is used. Wouldn't that be exciting? Then we could wake you up when it's over. But anyway, every time in the New Testament, it collects people. Not always Christians, by the way. Sometimes the word church collects rioters. Sometimes it collects Jews. Sometimes it collects citizens. But it's just a noun that collects people. All right, now 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 and Acts 20:28 parallel. 1 1 Corinthians 6:20, what does it say about the individual that's also said about the church in Acts 20:28? Sir?
Bought,
that's right, or purchased, that's correct. So the individual is purchased. And then Acts 20:28, elders oversee the church of God, which he purchased. It's not like Christ would have said, oh, there's a church over there, I'll get that group. There's another church over here, I'll get that. No, the individual people in it were purchased. The word church is just collecting them. In Acts 20:28, collecting them on the basis of what? Look at verse 17. Well, they are, but if it's collecting them on that basis, it would also include the saints in Corinth and Thessalonica and Jerusalem.
This is an individual local church, the Ephesian
church. That's right, the Ephesian church. Call to him, verse 17, the elders of the church at Ephesus. They're to oversee the flock among them. So locality, working and worshiping together in a locality. That's right. Okay, so in each case, we just need to see what the connection is to understand the scope of the collectivity that's being discussed. John 15:5. So we'll go over to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 5. Out of curiosity, I want to ask if you've ever discussed denominationalism with someone, have you ever had anybody use this passage to show that denominationalism is scriptural? You have? So what they would say, I don't know what your particular person you talk with, but what they will say, you know, you say there's only one church. They say, but look at John chapter 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. And so each denomination is a branch. Yes.
Each individual Christian is a branch.
That's the truth of it. But the way it's used is, look, it doesn't make any difference what church you're a member of, denomination. We're all branches connected to Christ. That's the important thing. But as Alex has pointed out, it's individuals. How would you show it's individuals from the context, Alex?
Well, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
Okay. And who are the you?
So it's the apostles.
The apostles. Context is the apostles. And so if you look down here in verse 8, what does he call the you? Disciples, not churches. Disciples. You bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. And so verse 13, he laid down his life for you. Did he die for denominations or did he die for people? See, they done his life for you. And so all through the context, it's very clear that the branches are people. In this particular case, special people, the apostles of our Lord. And so this is a misused passage, and that's one reason I wanted to put it on here, because you might find this used to try to take away the sting of saying something about denominations. Okay, so question number 3. Someone asks, what denomination are you a member of? Would you answer Church of Christ and explain your answer? Okay, why would you say I'm just a Christian instead of yes, I'm Church of Christ?
Church of Christ is just the body where the body of Christians gathers together to worship and study.
Okay.
Church of Christ is not a denomination.
Church of Christ is not a denomination? That's true. Those are good answers. When they use the word church if a person says, I am Church of Christ, how are they using Church of Christ? What? I can't hear you. Are they saying I'm a denomination?
No, they're equating it with a way a denomination people would respond.
Okay, what do they mean by I'm Church of Christ?
Subscribe to some creed.
Universal.
That's it. It's a theology. I subscribe to the Church of Christ theology. What is that? Can anybody show me what that is? You know, I regularly tell, sometimes at the beginning of a sermon, I say, I don't preach Church of Christ doctrine. Don't even know what it is. I don't subscribe. There's no Church of Christ theology. What's often meant by that is such things as no instrumental music, baptism for the remission of sins, baptism is immersion, etc. That, but you know what? Do all churches of Christ subscribe to that?
No.
No. There are churches of Christ you're going to find that have instrumental music, for example. There are churches of Christ that teach premillennialism, for example. There are churches of Christ who have women leading in the assembly, for example. So there's a big difference. So what is Church of Christ theology? I don't know. You say, well, I know what we can do. We can say what the Church of Christ theology is for the church in Humble. Can we do that? If you do, leave me out, okay? You don't know what I believe. And we don't all agree on everything in the first place. As somebody said, I heard him say a while ago, the theology ought to be the Bible. That's our creed. But this is something we can easily fall into. You go to the hospital and say, what are you? I'm Church of Christ. What do you mean I'm Church of Christ? Are you a collective? You must have had it. You've been at one of those buffets that Craig and Keith been on. You ate so much, now you're not just one, you're a whole group, huh? Yes, sir.
So how do you feel about when brethren may say, either in their interactions with people or on a church website, you have no creed but the Bible?
How do I feel about it? Well, I have no creed but the Bible. I guess that's the boat I'm in. What about you? You apparently have an issue with it?
No, not necessarily. I was just thinking about it.
No, if there's something wrong with it, I'm in the sinking boat, I guess, because that's where I'm at. Yes, ma'am.
Well, the church belongs to Christ, so why would it be wrong to say I'm a member of the Church of Christ?
That's not what the person says. Look at the question.
Yeah, I know it's a little different.
I'm a member of the Church of Christ, yes. I'm Church of Christ is different.
Or a member of Christ's church.
A member of Christ's church is fine. Now, even if you do that, you're going to have to explain, because when you say, I'm a member of the Church of Christ, what's in their mind?
Denomination
called Church of Christ. Collected churches of Christ. That's in their thinking. Remember, we talked about communication. For communication to take place between two individuals, what has to be true?
Both of them have to be on the same bus.
That's right. Both have to be on the same passenger on the bus. It has to be common. The word communication comes from common. So you say, that's a good answer. I'm a member of the Church of Christ. You mean the body of the saved. That's what's in your mind. But in their mind, it's not common between you, probably. What they're thinking is, oh yeah, I know, the Church of Christ denomination.
Or also they think that they're the same, that we're the same. I believe in Christ Jesus too, so therefore you and I agree.
They do think that.
They end up doing that. It's like, okay, the third conversation. All we're doing is Christ's doctrine today. So they use it both ways.
That's true. So anyway you do, it's just sometimes if you have opportunity, oftentimes you don't. Of course, the person admitting you to the hospital, they're not interested in a religious conversation. But just try to watch our terminology so we don't join in this confusion. I'm not Church of Christ. I'm not a group. I don't subscribe to some theology made up by churches of Christ, some Church of Christ unwritten creed. I am, as Betty said, a member of the Church of Christ. That kind of thing would be fine. Or you could just say like Alec, which I really like, I'm a Christian. Well, yeah, I am too. Barbara said, "Say, yeah, I am too." Well, of course, there's that little bus with different passengers on it, you know. But sometimes you just don't have opportunity to get in depth. You had a comment, Craig.
I was going to say that, you know, sometimes it's confusing too, because our church building, in the front of the sign, and we call this the Church of Christ in Humble. And so in our communications, we may say we attend services at the Church of Christ in Humble.
That's a good answer. In fact, I do that sometimes, Craig. I say I'm a member of the Church of Christ in Humble. That just clarifies things right from the beginning. They say, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, the local congregation in Humble. That's a good way to approach it. I saw some other hands up. Ronnie?
Of course, you can't exactly just say, I'm not a member of any denomination and let it go at that, because they'll just think, well, you're a member of one of those non-denominational groups.
Anything you say, it just opens the possible door to confusion. But like I say, you may not have the opportunity to clarify. That's a good point, Ronnie. Yes, Rocky?
Steve, we studied about the church so much here and understand how the Bible uses it. So we're pretty clear on what the church means. We should be surprised when we talk to people that when we try to explain that to the Bible, it's going to be a big obstacle. They're not going to understand it. They'll be thinking, you know, we're really off. So be prepared to spend some time to be able to try to, be willing to describe how the word church is. I mean, so maybe start talking about the word church and, you know, it's going to be a big obstacle.
We do have a good group here and very knowledgeable on this subject. And I wish it were true that once we teach on something, everybody's got it and will keep it. Unfortunately, that is not the case. And that's why the elders have decided about every 4 or 5 years there are certain topics we recycle. One of them is the church, one is authority, one is marriage and divorce. And I know it's good for me to go and revisit the scriptures and examine my thinking in the light of them. But if you're discussing with someone else that not accustomed to this kind of study, many churches of Christ, I don't know if they ever engage in a study like this. They may engage in studies on morals and the family and those kind, and which are good. I'm not saying that's not good. We do the same thing here. But I don't know how many of them ever get into. Maybe that's is that what you have in mind, Rocky, that you might be talking to another member of the church of another, or what?
I'm just saying that for us, because we've studied so much, it's easy for us to understand. For the most part, others will not have that same understanding.
Okay.
And it's going to be a big obstacle. It's going to take time to work through.
Yeah, good point. Are you saying we've studied so much, I ought to move on? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, Danny. If you can, and that's what Rocky says, you're saying you may have to spend some time, even if they're a member of a Church of Christ, to further explain. Okay, good. I appreciate your good answers.
I had a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
And also, a lot of times we like to throw this down on Christians. Some people who, quote unquote, we're not Christians, want to put themselves in a universal church. So, irrespective of what group or religious Christians they have, they feel, oh yeah, I'm a Christian too. So I'm a Christian.
I'm in the universal
church, and they can follow any kind of
doctrine they want. That's true. Now they think they're in the church of Christ, a member of Church of Christ, because that they believe in Christ. That's true. That's what Barbara's talking about. You'll find the word Church of Christ used that way to include anybody of any creed, as long as they profess some kind of faith in Christ. Brandon Font, who I get the privilege to talk to once or twice a week, sometime more. Of course, he's involved in religious discussions there in the prison regularly. And so anybody in that prison that proclaims some kind of faith in Christ, no telling what they may believe, about salvation, about the Holy Spirit, whatever, that's Christian. They're Christians. And that's the very thing that Barbara's talking about. Okay, so well, what we've been talking about, I guess, answers question number four. Three men are discussing religion. One says, I'm Baptist. One says, I'm Methodist. Third says, I'm Church of Christ. Very similar to what we've been talking about. And necessary to explain church as a collective noun and not used of a theology or a denomination. Okay, question number five. In our study, the term church and churches are used in... Note now, I've got quotes around this. This is not what I teach, okay? You know the quotation marks? Don't go away and say, I got Steve's material here, and here's what he teaches. There's quotation marks here. This is from a tract. I do not know this man. This is not in any way meant to try to make him look bad or anything. I don't know the man. He's some kind of a gospel preacher, evidently. Tom Estes, and wrote this little tract, Why I'm a Member of the Church of Christ. So this is taken out of his tract. In our study, the term church and churches are used interchangeably. They are so used in the New Testament. Acts 9:31 uses it to refer to the entire universal body. And then he has 1 Corinthians 14:33. Acts 9:31 and Galatians 1:2 refer to the entire body of Christ in a particular region. In Romans 16:16, it is used to include many or all individual congregations or churches as they constitute the universal combined church or congregation. My question is, do you agree or disagree, and explain why? What? You're exactly right. And why does it, and your answer is right on target. Why does it make them a denomination? A collecting of churches. That's what a denomination is. When you say the church universal, as he does here at the end, it is used to include many or all individual congregations of churches. That is a denomination. That's what that is. You don't find the word church used in the New Testament that way. You certainly don't find the word denomination. Now let's look at these verses that he uses. Look at Acts 9:31. And it'll depend on what version you're using. And remember, we've encouraged you to compare versions when you do your Bible study. This is going to make a difference here. In the New American Standard and the American Standard Version, and those that follow that family of manuscripts, it's going to say something like this. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace. If you're reading the King James Version or New King James Version, it will say the churches, plural. Why? Different family of manuscripts that are favored. That's all. No big thing. But let's just take Acts 9:31. Either way you want to take it, if you want to take, as this version translates, the church, is that synonymous with, is that interchangeable with churches? When he says the church enjoyed peace, what's he talking about? What?
To say
the people in the church enjoyed peace. Paul had been converted now. He was the mastermind of this persecution that was going on. He'd been converted. And so the church enjoyed peace, being built up. That is, people in the church were being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord. So that's one way. Now, if you take it of churches, could you say that the churches throughout this area comprise the church in this area?
you intend to collect.
Then you're collecting them again, and it's not used that way. That's our terminology. It's not there. It's just that simple. It's just not used that way. You say, well, there's a barrel full of links. That's a chain, is it?
No.
No. It's not. It's a barrel full of links. That's what it is. Church is. What is that? Churches. Period. That's it. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 14:33. He uses that one. God is not a God of confusion, but peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now, he says you can interchange these words, and this refers to the universal body. Does it? Is there anything in the text that indicates that? Plurality. Nothing here about a universal body. Body is a collective noun, collecting members. Is there anything in here that fits that analogy? No, there isn't. Be careful when you hear guys like us talk. Examine the verses we use. See if the context fits. It sounds good, but it's not there. It's just not there, that's all. Okay, and then here's Galatians 1:2. So look at Galatians 1:2. To the churches of Galatia. Now, wouldn't that be the church in Galatia? If you get all the churches in Galatia, wouldn't that be the church in Galatia?
Still the churches of Galatia.
How do you know it's not the church in Galatia? If I say it's the church in Galatia, what's your response?
Prove it.
That's the answer. Where does it say that? It doesn't say that. It says the churches. Yeah, but if you got a bunch of churches, that's the... Well, wait a minute. So you got a bunch of links, you got a chain. You got a bunch of cars, you got a fleet. You got a bunch of ball players, you got a team. Not necessarily. One may be a Cub, one may be an Astro, one may be a Brave. You don't have a team. You got a bunch of ball players. See? So that's the answer. Prove it. Where does it say that? It says churches of Galatia. Now we want to tie them together. That's what a collective does. What word? Well, there's none in the New Testament. Somebody had a hand up. That denomination wouldn't work, would it?
Yeah.
That's true. Good point, Craig. And so he taught women weren't to be addressing the assembly in a position of authority there in 1 Corinthians 14. And so if you're going to collect churches on that basis, you're going to have to be pretty restrictive. But it just doesn't do it. That's that simple. And so then you have this one that's Romans 16:16. This is the classic one right here. There's the church of Christ. It's the churches of Christ. The churches of Christ, there it is. That's the church of Christ, isn't it? Look, I've had problems with this verse time and again in teaching on this subject. We want to make that the church. No, it isn't. How do you know? Prove it. It doesn't say the church of churches of Christ. That's the way we might think. Let's suppose for a moment we made this to be the church composed of churches of Christ. Where does that leave the Ethiopian?
Out.
He's not a member of any church. He's baptized on from Jerusalem to Gaza. He confessed Christ, was buried in the waters of baptism. He's not a member of any local church. Is he in the church? If it's a collectivity of churches, he's not. See? Say, well, I want a group thing. Well, you go ahead and want to, but there's no burden in the New Testament to group churches of Christ. Okay. Any questions or comments? You figure that out, you let me know. Well, here's how I'm doing it, Deborah. I'm trying to teach on it.
Okay.
That's all I can do. Very good comment. Good observation. But that's just the reality of it. And that's true.
And
in fact, we're going to talk about that in our next lesson. How do you, this very thing you're talking about, something that's been practiced and taught for so long. So our next lesson is also on denomination from an organizational perspective, but you'll see it has a Roman numeral 2. So it's a continuation of this. And we're going to get into some stuff that's very valuable, I think. And Lord willing, we'll do that Wednesday night. So thank you for your good comments, good attention this morning.